Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Tanner Griffith. For those of you who do not know me, I'm one of our pastors here at Venice Church Midtown. We are glad that you have joined us. Welcome. For those of you who have been here for a while and are returning, man, we're really glad to see everybody here. We've got an incredible family. We want to invite you to be part of it. We call that Stick Six. Would you stick around for 6 weeks and find a home here? Maybe find a community group, a place to serve, a place to get connected in some way. We'd love to help you get part of that. So we find sticking around 6 weeks kind of enables you to do that. One thing you could do is tonight we have barbecue baptism. We provide a lot of meat and a lot of drinks and a ton of hush puppies. Okay, that's like our contribution. And if you show up with sides and desserts, I mean, it's a beautiful thing that can happen, and just magic explodes. Magic community and magic love and life just explodes out of these things. My favorite thing that we do as a church happens this evening. At 4 o'clock, we're doing our barbecue baptism. We have a couple folks in our church that are getting baptized today, and it's just, I love it. It's the best thing we do. We will be doing it at Trinity Academy. We are doing this rain or shine, and it's a perfect building to do this rain or shine at. Okay, so if it's not raining, man, our kids will probably be everywhere, like run around all over the playground. We'll call everybody together. If not, we can go right inside. So rain or shine, Trinity Academy tonight, 4 p.m. to 7. And just, you know, we have a lot of latecomers at this church. Man, at 4:15, we're kind of starting the baptism service. Okay, so that's the most important thing. Be there for that. Get there at 4. Get prepared. Then we're going to eat right after. Again, we got tons of meat, tons of hush puppies and drinks. If you guys can bring the rest, sides and desserts, we would love that. This week, again, is a week where we're looking at 2 Corinthians. We have been going over 1 and 2 Corinthians as a church this year. We've been kind of jumping around in different places. And when we have, when we've been spending time in 2 Corinthians, every week is just interesting. It's kind of in the same vein. If you caught it when Jared was reading this passage, it's again another sermon in 2 Corinthians that's going to deal with weakness. It is just a theme that comes over and over and over in the book of Corinth. 2 Corinthians. The church at Corinth was an incredibly powerful community. It was an incredibly rich community. It was an incredibly diverse community. They were really smart. And in a lot of ways, Corinth looked a lot like the triangle. And they hated weakness. They hated weakness. And Paul's saying, weakness is really the way that Jesus walked. And Paul's going to show us this sermon today. If you saw our sermon title, is Jesus worthy of our life? Particularly, we're looking at Jesus worthy of our rest today. And we're going to do this in two ways. When I actually saw the title, I was like, okay, how are we going to go over rest in this section? Two things as a culture that I think we're bad at. One is we are bad at resting. We're almost too busy to rest. You know, a common theme that I hear a lot is I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. I say it. I'm so busy this week. I told somebody that this morning. I had a busy week. Busy, 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 busy. Our culture, we just kind of love being busy. And we might not be as busy as we think, but we definitely like shut down. We're kind of a garage door society. When we get home from work, a lot of times we just close those garage doors and our home is our sanctuary. Our home is our refuge. Do not, you know, get into like my space here. That's our time. And in that place, weirdly, a lot of times we don't rest. So one is, I do want to go this, have this message hit on, one, you were designed for rest. It's crazy, at the beginning of the Bible, God creates the world in 6 days. And what does he do on the seventh? He rests. God didn't need to rest. It wasn't like he like gets tired or he was overexhausted so he needed to rest. It's just, that's what he did. On the seventh day, he rested. And actually, the people of God were commanded, once a week, you need to rest. I mean, what a great thing for the ancient world. 52 days a year, that's a lot of weeks. You know, that's over six, that's over seven. That's getting into 8 weeks of vacation that the ancient world would have been commanded. You need this. Rest once a week. But then on the flip side, I think this Jesus is worthy of our rest is saying, hey, some of you guys are resting. You get home, your home is your sanctuary, and I've kind of made you for your home as your mission field. I actually want to be in every part of your life. So Jesus is worthy of like what we think is restful and where we don't include like kind of God's mission in that part of our life, which for a lot of us is our house. God wants us to go, you know, I'm worthy of everything. You can sacrifice for me. We're going to look at both of those things today. But we're going to see how God particularly does this in the book of Corinth. We're going to see how this plays out with a bunch of weak people, needy people. There's two people that I want to talk to today. One is for those who might be like the church of Corinth. You're sitting there, your career's good, your pay is good, you feel powerful in a lot of ways. In some ways, just everything's good. I want to invite you into Paul's reality. It's what Paul does in this. He's talking about his own life. His life has been a life that's been very hard. The ancient philosophers just always said, life is struggle. So for some of you that are like, things are going well right now, I do want to say, it might not always go like that. And when struggle and suffering comes into your life, or even before that, maybe you need to stop being so short-term focused, not look at the like next 40 years of your life, but think of the next 40 million. Paul's going to kind of get us out of being like real short-term focused. The second person I want to talk to is a person that feels like they know they're weak. You might label it as, I feel burnt out. I'm stretched thin. I feel like I'm at the end of my strength. Paul wants to talk to that person this morning and say, that's not the worst place to be. Jesus comes and meets us in our weakness. You don't need to try to drink a lot of Gatorade and get those electrolytes up or whatever. You know what you need is to let Jesus enter into that spot. Let him come into our weakness. This passage is pretty amazing. I'm going to read it one more time for us, and then I want to pray. And then we're going to jump into three truths from this passage. So let me read this one more time for us. This is 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 11. Paul says this, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power of God, the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you." Let me pray. God, all of us, every single one of us, needs you. above everything. And God, you have created us. You have made us. You have designed us for yourself. And God, this morning, I ask, God, would you show us the glory that's beyond comparison in Jesus Christ? God, would you overwhelm us with yourself? Jesus, would we see the incredible beauty in this passage? That it's at our low, it's at our weakness, where you walk into the stage, that you walk into our lives, that you strengthen us, and that you show us your goodness in yourself. So God, would you, in this place, this morning, would you renew us? Would you revive us? God, would you cause the powerful to be humbled? God, would you cause the prideful to be in just some way stripped of all pride? And God, for those who are weak and lowly, God, would you raise them? Would you refresh them? Would you revive them? God, would you help us now at this time to see your incredible love to us in Jesus Christ? It's in his name we pray. Amen. Man, why would we want what Paul just talked about in this passage? Man, he's afflicted, but not crushed. You know, he's persecuted, but not forsaken. I mean, his life is a lot of struggle, a lot of suffering, but he can't be stopped. You know, a lot of us, I think the American way is the way of avoiding discomfort, avoiding pain, and avoiding any possible anxiety that we might have. A lot of us are just going to, we're going to avoid all of that. We're going to stay in our lane, stay in our place. This passage is like really challenging some of those ideas. I mean, it's really challenging. Hey, life is not just about avoiding discomfort. Life is not just about avoiding pain. And interestingly, Paul's going to say, if you think that's what life is about, you're going to just miss God. If you're always avoiding discomfort, especially, and I would say namely, avoiding discomfort in following Jesus, you're not going to meet God himself. You're not going to meet with Jesus. If your perfect kind of time with God only revolves perfect circumstances and a perfect place in a perfect setting, you might not be meeting with God. You might be just meeting with yourself. And so Paul's going to push in and talk about his life, and it was struggle. It was a lot of struggle, and there's three truths that he's going to tell us in this passage. One, our weakness is where God's power is displayed. That's where his power, the context of his power really gets made known, is in our weakness. The second truth that we're going to see in this is our weakness is where Jesus' death and life meet. Let me just say this one more time. Probably the fact and the truth that I like really in my head this week have been is a glorious thought. The second truth is our weakness and our suffering is where the death of Jesus and the life of Jesus meet. We're going to see him talk about that. And the final thing is our weakness is where we are renewed. So for those who feel weak, who are struggling, our hope is, weirdly, that we'll get this renewal in our weakness. And he's going to talk about this in this passage. So this first truth, let's look at it. It's in verse 7 of chapter 4. And I think on the screen it says verse 4, but we're actually in verse 7 if you have your Bibles. It's verse 7. It says this, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." I mean, here's the beginning of this passage, the beginning of this truth, that our God's power is displayed in our weakness. What is he talking about though? This is the beginning of the verse, and it starts with this line, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. What is he talking about? What is this treasure? First, we got to go back just one verse. Right in this passage, if you have your Bible, the verse right before this, in verse 6, it says this, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Here's the treasure that we have. The treasure that we have is that we know, we have the knowledge of the glory of God. The treasure is knowing God. That is a treasure. And I love how he puts on the end, in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you know how we know how good God is to us? You know how we can see what God the Father thinks of us? Is we look at the face of Jesus Christ. When we look at the life of Jesus and we see his life, that is our treasure. To know that, to see it. There are so many people out there that do not know how God feels to them because they have not seen Jesus Christ. They don't know Jesus Christ's love towards them. How does God the Father feel towards us? Well, let's look at Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do? What did God send his son, his one and only son, to do for us? He came and he walked this perfect life. I mean, when he comes down, the miracles he's doing are, I love how one pastor put it, they're not really supernatural, they're incredibly natural. In God's kingdom, they're not supposed to be lame people. There's not supposed to be cripples. And he just says, get up and walk. There's not supposed to be blind people. And he says, see. He hears the deaf. He raises up people from death to life. Like in his path, heaven is behind him. And actually, it's just the way earth should be. The earth without sin. It's like he comes down, lives this perfect life, tells us about God's love towards us. And what do we do? What does humanity do to that person, Jesus Christ? We hate him for that. He has revealed to us our evil. In the face of him, we can't consider ourselves good. And we hate him for it. And the Bible tells us that basically all of humanity's voice, all of our voices, were like those in front of Pilate when he asked, hey, what do you want me to do to Jesus? I released Barabbas. What do y'all want me to do? And the story of the Bible is that we, with all of our voices, say, crucify him. Kill him. Jesus told us, though, Jesus being God says, you can't take my life from me. I lay it down. And I'm going to take it up again. Jesus Christ went to the cross to carry your sin, to carry my sin. What does that tell us about God? God has loved us. He would not let the sin that separated us from himself win. He sent his one and only son to take that sin on himself. And he died for us. And look to, if you want to see God's love for us, look to the cross. I mean, everything about the cross is just this beautiful example of love. Jesus Christ, like, willingly, in the face of mocking, one of the most awful voices on the cross is, if you're really God, save yourself. Get up off the cross. And it's interesting. He was God. He wasn't saving himself. To save all of us, he was going to stay there. His love kept him on that cross. His love was poured out upon each and every one of us at his death. Because he dealt with what was separating us from God. And then 3 days later, he takes his life back again and he raises from the dead. And when we look to Jesus Christ, we see the glory of God. And just knowing God, that is the treasure that we have. Our eyes have been opened to this incredible good news of Jesus Christ, that God is not counting our sin against us. In the cross, with the work of Jesus Christ, in him dying for our sins and raising again, he is not counting our sin against us. And as we sung earlier, at the cross, not only does he not count our sin against us, now we have the righteousness of God on our account. I mean, how awesome is that good news? That is incredible. If you feel like, man, I wish I was a little bit better this week, stop thinking about your life. You can't be better than Jesus. The way God sees every good work in your life is through the lens of Jesus. When he looks at us, when he looks at Tanner Griffith, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. I can't have any better righteousness than that. How incredible is that good news? That exchange is ridiculous. And Paul calls it, it's the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. That's what we have. Paul says, you have this treasure in a jar of clay. And you know who's the jar of clay in this passage? You. I was talking to Ted Yap, our college minister, and we were talking about this passage. And he talked about the author, pastor R. Kent Hughes, gives a good example of, in that day and age, a jar of clay was like the cheapest thing that you put whatever you're like buying into. So it's like cardboard packaging. Or what R. Kent Hughes says, it's kind of like a Bojangles wrapper. I mean, think about that. God says, you have this treasure in a jar of clay. Just think about the Bojangles wrapper. You know, those things are like, they're weak. They get torn. They're not valuable. We like toss them aside. But God does treasure us. He puts the greatest treasure, which is the knowledge of him, in us. In the weak, fragile, many of us feel like we could just be thrown to the side. He puts his treasure in that. And that is where Paul says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay in our weak mortal bodies to show the surpassing power. It belongs to God, not to us. Our weakness, our little jars of clay, Bojangle wrapper bodies, ourselves, our weak selves, have been given the glory, the knowledge of the glory of God, that God is for us. He is not against us. No one can separate us from his love towards us. We have seen that and know that in the face of Jesus Christ. That the work that God began in us, he is going to complete it. And with that, God's power is going to be displayed with those Bojangle wrappers, with those jars of clay. I mean, it's amazing. He goes on and he's like, he can't be stopped. The suffering that comes into his life, those verses, is amazing. As he goes on and he says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. I love that. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. I mean, it is amazing. That Bojangle wrapper, wouldn't it be so easy to destroy that thing? And he said, no. because God's power is displayed in our weakness. Paul, particularly on his mission, and actually 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, starts talking to you about his life, and he talks about all the times he had been beaten, all the times he had been stoned, all the times he had been shipwrecked. His ministry was filled with suffering and weakness. Imagine if you got beat for the gospel. And you're like, let's keep going. The knowledge of the glory of Christ will change you. I want to challenge some of us to get outside of our own weaknesses and try to just be protective and even walk forward. What if we this next year suffered because we were following Jesus? Some of us, we just are overwhelmed with our own suffering, our own life. What if we're like Paul? And we suffered because we wanted people to know the good news of the gospel. That's what I want to call us to. God displays his strength through those people that walk into suffering, to walk into discomfort for his kingdom's sake, to love the hard to love, to share his good news with those that we might even be afraid of. Man, our weakness is where God's power is displayed. That's the first truth. Second truth, our weakness is where Jesus' death and life meet. Look at this in verse 10. Paul says, hey, we're always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be also manifested in our bodies. This is a really interesting line. This is the phrase, we're carrying in our body the death of Jesus, just stood out to me this whole week. When we follow Jesus Christ and when we suffer for him, when we walk into suffering, you know what we're doing? We're actually relating to Jesus in his death. Paul says it very simply in Philippians 3, 10 through 11. He says this, man, that I may know him, that I may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. I mean, this is a crazy kind of passage. He wants to share in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. What is he talking about? Sharing his sufferings. I get the, I want to know the power of the resurrection. But sharing his sufferings? When you suffer with someone, you really get to know them. There's a bond that happens. There's this relational kind of force that is, I think, just overwhelming. And for some reason, Paul knew that suffering. And when he walked into that suffering for Jesus, he knew he was sharing with Jesus. He was weirdly experiencing in some little way what Paul says, the death of Jesus. And we just talked about that. The death of Jesus was this, when we look at the cross, it is amazing what was taking place on that hill. Jesus was taking every pain, every sorrow, every sin of ours on himself for others. And when we walk this path of weakness and suffering for Jesus Christ, when we start to suffer, Jesus is saying, I'm here. My suffering was like this. You get Jesus when we are weak, when we suffer for him. And that's why Paul can say, I just want to know him. I want to know Jesus. What if that was, this is what we say our church is all about. We are a church that exists to make much of Jesus. And the way we do that is by making disciples that know the good news. That's really know Jesus. That know the gospel. Man, if this is what we're all about, I just want to know Jesus. And you know where he meets us? In our weakness, in our sufferings, in our trials. As we follow him, that is where he meets us. And interestingly, the death of Jesus meets us there, but I think it's amazing. The resurrection life of Jesus meets us in our weakness. It is the one place that you get the cross and the empty tomb. Both are there in your life at that time. It is in weakness that his power is displayed to us. I love how he says that. He goes, we're carrying in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested. It's like in our weakness, when we walk, when we follow God in hard times and hard seasons, that is where resurrection power is displayed for all. And Jesus displays his strength in the midst of our weakness. It is in our weakness that Jesus' death and life meet in our lives. And we meet the resurrected and crucified Savior. And that changes us. And it makes us say, I can face anything. When we know the power of resurrection, and when we can back up from our lives and go, you know what? Every single person in this room that has believes, even if I die, I'll be with you for millions of years. I'll be with you for eternity. Nothing can stop that, those people. You know, every awful thing that could happen in this world, it's like this, man, think of it in light of eternity. Even if we all died, you know what? We don't stay dead. Nothing can stop those people. No suffering, no weakness. And Paul is saying, that is why I can walk forward in my life. I want to invite you in this challenge is to consider your life and to consider Jesus Christ as part of it. If you don't know him, you're missing something. Paul would say it's a treasure. Jesus Christ can be known in your struggle and in your suffering. He will reveal himself to you. He will not hide himself to you here. And I want you to ask you to look for him, to ask for him. The final truth that we see in this passage is our weakness is where we are renewed. This is this last verse in this passage, but I'm also going to go to jump ahead a couple verses. But this line, so death is at work in us, but life in you. It's like there is a weird renewing in that. Now, it's in this passage, Paul is saying, hey, Corinth, you guys are getting a lot of life out of this. But I'm telling you, bringing other people life, even if it's hard for us, is something that renews you. I mean, when you struggle for the sake of another person, there's a renewing that happens. And he goes on. It actually, this chapter is finished by this passage in verse 16 through 18. I love this. He says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an internal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Paul says, imagine with me a scale. And he calls his pain, which is crazy. If you, again, read the end of 2 Corinthians where he talks about all his hardships, you're like, this light and momentary affliction. 3 beatings, 2 times he had the 39 lashes laid on him by the Jewish people, shipwrecks, stonings, light and momentary affliction. That's crazy. But he's saying, look, my entire life is over here. Put it on this side of the scale. And then over here, he says, put eternity. What happens to the scale? This side's going to sink. This is the eternal weight of glory. Our suffering, when we follow Jesus Christ, is to the path of glory that he says is beyond comparison. We have got to stop thinking so short term as Americans. I mean, we have a really great life. I mean, I've got great food. I've got a great house. But you know what? I don't, that's nothing compared to eternity. I love it. Let me just look at verse 16 here. I love this. So after saying all of what we just have talked about, he says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. There's two things in this passage, one we don't want and one we do want. One is we don't like thinking about every single day we're wasting away. That's what it means to be human. Is our existence is winding down in one sense in terms of our mortal bodies. But that's the thing we don't want. We don't want that death. But the thing that I want is I want a day by day renewal. I love that. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. That is what I want for each and every one of us. Every single day, you are being renewed. Day by day by day by day. When we suffer, when we realize that this treasure of God has been put in this Bojangles wrapper that called us, this jar of clay, when we see that our suffering actually displays, when we respond in faith, and even if we don't respond in faith, his goodness and his grace is still upon us, and we walk in the face of suffering for God's glory, we get inwardly renewed day by day. Man, even though our outward self, our bodies are wasting away daily, our inner self can be renewed day by day. That is what I want for each and every one of you. A day by day renewal. You are weak. That's what Paul's saying. He doesn't compliment you, all you Bojangles rappers out there. You know, it's like, it could just be thrown away and discarded. He doesn't compliment us. Outside of saying, but you want to know what God thinks about that Bojangles wrapper? He puts his greatest treasure in it. And when you consider that glory, the knowledge of the glory of God, in the face of Jesus, you will be renewed. No matter what comes your way, no matter what wasting in your life happens, when cancer comes, when sickness comes, when your last days come, your inner self can be renewed day by day because of Jesus Christ. I want to be those people that say, I want my God's strength to be displayed through my life. And the way I do that is I trust my Savior and I follow him. And I won't avoid discomfort. I won't just avoid pain for his kingdom's sake. I'm going to go make disciples. I'm going to be on his mission. I'm going to love others, love God, and I'm going to do what he has me do, no matter what comes with that. And in those moments, Jesus' death and resurrection meet us. and our renewal takes place. And the kingdom of God goes forth. Man, I want to invite you to that. Let me pray. Jesus, you are the treasure of this passage. God, you have displayed your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that above everything that was discussed today, God, would you help us know your Son, Jesus Christ? God, I want you, and these people, we need you. Would you give yourselves to us? You are the one that has pursued us. You are making yourself known to us through your word. God, even now as we respond in worship, God, will we just be reminded of your great love towards us in him? And for those of us who do not believe, God, I ask, would you open their eyes? God, would you have them see your glory and how you have loved them with a love that will never end? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.